It's the Dork Podcast. Rich Keith. It's the Dork Podcast.
Brian Davis.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to a very special Day Dork. The Day Dork. My name is Rich Keefe. No Davey Eyeballs today, but we do have Mac from the Mac and Goo podcast. Mac, how are you?
Good, good. It's weird to see you with some real backlighting there.
I should probably do all the shows during the day. This is significantly better. I don't know what the fuck my night setup is. I have one of those ring cam or ring lights, which I don't use all the time. I feel like it makes it worse.
Yeah, sometimes it does. Goo and I had this issue for a while. I got lights fucking everywhere here. Goo's, you know, he's classically trained, so he's like, you gotta have one here, you gotta have one there. So
I like doing podcasts.
My bald head looks terrible either way.
Yeah, no, I know. It's just like, fuck, I get all kinds of issues here. And then Goo has like crystal clear setup, but can he only go for like 40 minutes and just like recharge?
Yeah, it's fucking whatever camera he owns, he sets up and it's only got like 46 minutes. So he has to like time, like he's always setting up the camera right before. And then if we go over that, sometimes we have to pause so that he can use the regular laptop camera.
Unbelievable. For those watching on YouTube, you'll notice Mac's glorious display of Funko Pops. I ask you, as I ask every Funko Pop collector, have you hit your limit as in like where they can go, or you still have an eye out for good ones?
I haven't bought one in a couple of years.
Yeah.
I still am in an apartment. I still rent.
Yep.
So I haven't been able to like build a spot or like really put some up. So like what you see behind me is probably 75%. And then I just have like two boxes of Funkos that sit in the corner of the room.
I hit my limit on like, I had the perfect setup, like height, width. I'm like, that's it. But then I got some kick-ass ones. And then I'm like, well, I got this. Well, I got like, you know, this is a while ago, but I got like a Darth Maul. So I'm like, well, I got to get like a Sabine Wren. And then now I have them like, look at this. They're on top of books. It's so stupid. Right. It's like, that doesn't.
That's the other thing too. Like, I really like the looks of the boxes.
Yeah.
And some people will put them out and display them in like shelves or whatever. And I just don't think I'm ever going to do that. I'll never take care of them. They'll get dusty. So no, I'll just keep stacking.
It's crazy. All right. We are talking about the show, The Traitors, that ran on Peacock for 12 episodes. It's funny. I got in right at the end and then sort of binged it. So I was probably like a week late to the show, but then I watched it all in like a week's time or so. We're going to start out spoiler free for those people that don't know what the show's even about. And then we'll quickly get into, for the people who have watched the show, all the different ins and outs and all the different shenanigans that they made. So Mac, give us a quick overview. What is this game? How do you play The Traitors?
So essentially, and here's a little fun fact. I learned this today, looking this up. There was a real life event that occurred on a Dutch ship in the 17th century where there was a mutiny, and the show was originally idealized as the mutineers. And then they realized that shooting on a ship and that whole thing wasn't going to cut it. So it turned into The Traitors, and they're shooting at the Scottish castle. But the format is based on this like social science principle that an informed minority is more powerful than an uninformed majority. And so the show plays on that. You have 22 contestants, two of which at the beginning of the show are called traitors, and their job is to basically lie and be deceitful to the other 20 people
faithful
on the show who are faithful.
Yeah, yeah.
And the goal of the show for the faithfuls is to vote off the traitors. The goal of the traitors is to last to the end and basically steal the money. If the traitors are left at the end of the game, they win the money.
And so one thing, and I watch some reality shows. I certainly don't watch them all. And I don't watch all the competition ones. But with this one, basically the traitors are selected, the first two, at random, as far as we know, at random by like the show creators.
Right.
And then the faithful, every day they have something called a round table where everyone gets together and they vote out one person, and that person's gone. There's no like rebuttal. There's no throw them in like a gladiator pit and the fucking winner comes out. Like, they don't do that. Same with if the traitors decide at night, we're going to kill Mac. Nothing you can do about it. You wake up the next day, poof, you're done. Even if you were the best one there, they do these daily challenges where they can win money, which are kind of whatever. There is some strategy to it, which we'll get to, but basically, that was the one thing that kind of shocked me, was there's nothing you can do. Like, if they vote you out, like, there is a bit of luck, especially early. It's very luck. And then as you get going, you know, you have many alliances and stuff. But it's a cool idea because it's a murder mystery. You don't know who it is. You also, as a faithful, aren't entirely sure how many traitors there are.
True.
From time to time.
And And coming into the show, it's not like there's years worth of evidence of how to play the game. There was one prior season in the US and I think a couple UK seasons. So the people going onto the show don't really know how to play the show, which kind of adds to some fun, but also some messy gameplay.
Some of them even less so than others. Some of them, I'm not convinced they knew they were even on a television show.
They're just there hanging out, having breakfast every morning, and crazy. They have no idea how to play the game.
No strategy. But I love, like, as a viewer, I think it's fantastic because they film all these confessionals. You see the behind the scenes stuff when the traders talk to each other. You see, out, and I'm sure they cut a ton of stuff too, but you see these little meetings where like a faithful's talking to somebody else who they think is a faithful and they're trying to run game. But when they're so adamant that somebody's a traitor and they're not, it's hilarious. Like as a viewer, it's really, really funny. And then there's like two characters that know what's going on and you're like, fucking listen to them. And like, so it's good. It's good.
It's awesome because you have probably, especially at the beginning of the game, only four or five people really trying to play the game and everyone else is just kind of there. But some of that, they're like going too hard. And some of these people that don't come from like challenge shows or competition shows are like, I'm all set with this person. I want to hang around with this person. Like they're playing too hard. And then in the beginning of the game, you see those hard players are basically some of the first couple eliminated because people just don't want to deal with those people.
So I didn't watch season one. I think I saw maybe an episode. My wife, I think, may have watched it. I watched because there's nobody pulled me in. I didn't watch any of the European or the UK or the Australian. I didn't watch any of that. And then the reason I watched this one is my wife who was like, hey, you might want to be in on this because CT, Bananas, and Trishel. So as you know, Max even been on a Dork Challenge episode we did years ago. So I love that. Real World, well, at least old Real Worlds, and then Real World Challenge, I love. So once they had those three, I'm like, I'm in. They also have a bunch of Bravo characters who I recognize all of them just because my wife watches all those shows. So it was like three or four housewives. It was a woman from Below Deck. It was a woman from Shaws of Sunset. They had a dude from Dancing with the Stars. They had Survivor, Big Brother, which I'm not familiar
with.
Love
Island.
I know you watch Survivor. Yeah, Love Island. What
Real Housewives. Oh, we mentioned Housewives. They had a character from RuPaul's Drag Race. So they kind of grabbed from everything. They did a good job in this season, like pulling from all over the place to give all sorts of people a reason to watch.
They had a guy who was in like Parliament in the United
Kingdom. Good old John.
Who's that guy?
That little fella. Just trying to be honorable the whole time. And that's like season one. I didn't watch either because I know they had some of like these Bravo people on there, but it was like half civilians too. There was no reason to dive in. No proof of concept. But like you said, CT, Bananas, Trishel, and then the two people they have from Survivor here, Sandra and Parvati, are two like the best Survivor personalities they've ever had too.
Okay.
So that really drew me in. So they did a great job with the casting for the season.
And then Alan Cumming is electric as the host. He is
so over the top.
So over the top. Like the lines that he delivers, the outfits that he wears, the shit that he talks. Excellent.
It's so good.
Because it's the whole idea is like they live in this castle, which I don't even know if they really live in the castle. I was talking to my sister-in-law, and she's like, I don't even think they really stay there, but whatever. Like they make it out like they stay in a castle. And so he says it's his castle, and he comes on. There's like it's a whole to-do. But yeah, it's an odd cast of characters. And I also think it's kind of interesting that there are a few characters like Bananas, CT, and Trishel, and Phaedra and Sheree, who have known each other for 20 years. And then there are other characters that are just meeting everybody for the first time. So to me, some have an advantage, some already have a disadvantage right off the shoot.
Exactly. You have those built-in relationships. And then them having Marcus Jordan and Larsa Pippen was so bizarre.
That's right. They had I forgot about that. They had Jordan's kid and Larsa Pippen.
Yeah. Like to me, though, immediately one of those first two should have been the first boot because you can't trust one of the two.
Definitely. No, for sure. What else are we missing here? Spoiler free. So it's a murder mystery. Ask the characters. And basically they have these daily challenges, which at first I was like, whatever, kind of just let's get to the point. But then you have a shield, and then a shield can protect you from elimination that night. So that adds a little bit of strategy. And they're playing. It's funny to me, like these people, and some of them are probably millionaires, and they're competing for like 100K, which is like amazing for us. But I was like, what do they care?
I think the pot starts at like 100K, and then every daily challenge they can win like 10K or something like that. It's not a lot. I don't think we mentioned how you can win the game, by the way. The only way the game ends is if the group votes to end it. So they can vote to not banish someone, and they would only do that if they think it's all faithful left at the end, but they keep voting people up, keep banishing people until they're satisfied they've gotten all the traitors, and or there's only two people left, which obviously comes into the equation here in the finale.
Yeah. Oh, and then also, like you were talking about them all eating breakfast. So basically they go to bed at night, the traitors get together, they decide who they're going to kill, and then they like cut away from that. So the viewer, we don't know until breakfast the next morning, and they walk them in like two at a time, and they have all these framed pictures of the people that are on the cast. And then all of a sudden, like, that's it. Nobody else is coming to breakfast today. So by process of elimination, that person's then out. But it's all about like reading people, seeing how they react to things, the stuff they say.
It's a big like social experiment, basically. And especially I would be interested in maybe we'll get to that towards the end talking about a new season. But coming into this, because all these characters are so well known, everyone has an idea of how they're going to play that. Like Bananas gets basically penalized at the beginning of the game because they know he's won so many games and they know he plays hard. It would be a little bit different if it was 22 completely random people.
Yeah, I feel like if you got the opportunity to play this with like a group of your friends, I think being a faithful, now there's always the bad luck and they're like, ah, fuck him, I want to get him out of there. But like, I think being a faithful would be the easiest and you kind of try to sniff out who's acting funny.
Right.
But with all strangers, I think it might be better. You might be better off being a traitor and just trying to fit in, knowing every night you're going to survive and then just politicking during the round table. I think that'd probably be the easiest way.
No, I totally agree with you, because if you don't know anything about anyone, there's nothing to base strategy off of until you're a couple votes into the game. So as a traitor, not only are you safe, you can sort of just float with the group for a couple votes and then just prey off of what they're saying, which they do a really bad job of at the beginning of this game.
Some of them are so bad. And although it's funny, like some of them are bad and then are out early. Others are bad and like somehow like it's a numbers game and they sort of squeeze towards the end and you're like, what the hell are you doing here?
Yeah, and I know you're not a Survivor guy, but it felt like some of the Survivor strategy came into this, where in Survivor they call people goats, not greatest of all times, but you can bring them to the end and they're not going to win. So you know you could beat them at Final Tribal. And it felt like there was some of that in here too, where non-threats just kept bringing along because they knew it was a number for the votes, but you knew they weren't really a threat to win money.
Yeah, they did that challenge. I feel like certain years of the challenge, they would do that, where they would ignore a guy or a girl and be like, that's fine, I'll run a challenge against them. But then as time went on, they were like, the rules always change. You might have to run a challenge with them. So you're now maybe we got to get rid of them. But all right, there's a quick overview. I highly recommend it. As far as reality TV is concerned, it is great. Like, edge of your seat. And I also think binge watching it was so much better. Did you watch it weekly?
I did watch it weekly. I had me and a couple friends started watching it weekly because we're big CT Bananas fans.
Man.
So we had a little text going too. And there was a couple of cliffhangers. You're like, you get so angry and then you think about it for a week. Like, how could they have not done this? Or how did they do that?
I'll tell you, the cliffhangers would have killed me, because even when I would finish an episode really late at night, I would watch the first 10 minutes of the next one every time. So I'm like, I got to see which asshole is gone, and then I can maybe try to get some sleep. But very good show. All right, let's get to spoilers on the traitors.
Spoilers, spoilers, spoilers. Here come the spoilers.
All right, so the first two traitors, and they do it, which I also had questions about, because it's hard to do this and 100% be positive that nobody could see, but they sit around the round table. That's a big setting in the show. And Alan walks around the room a couple times and just taps you on the shoulder. And if he taps you on the shoulder, you're a traitor. And I'm like, man, these blindfolds, like, how legit are the blindfolds?
I mean, we all played 7-Up as a kid. Everyone was fucking peeking, you know?
Right, exactly. And so this led to some good conversation right off the shoot. So anyway, they pick Dan and they pick Phaedra, but then Tamra from Real Housewives is like, John made like his, he started breathing weird. Like, he's breathing weird. And he's like, well, I had asthma or whatever. She's like, you have asthma? And then they were on like some run and she's like, do you have your inhaler? He's like, no, I don't have an inhaler. She's like, but you said you have asthma. And then she's like, he's a politician, guys. We can't trust him. I'm like, he's a politician, but he doesn't get to choose whether or not he's the traitor. Like, she was so adamant that he was the traitor just because of his job.
Yeah,
I was like, that's insane.
I couldn't tell if he was lying or not, because he was just like caught off guard by the instant accusation. Like, you would have thought after that first one, you kind of play it low, but instantly she's like, John is breathing kind of weird. And Like, yeah, he maybe has asthma, but he's also like 65 years old. So maybe it's just like a chronic illness he has. And immediately she's like, no, gotta be him.
He's an old dude. And it's like, it's a nerve-wracking setting. I probably would have been breathing heavy regardless whether I got picked or not.
Yeah, but they all, to her credit, there wasn't enough of people playing the game where if someone said something and then they'd call back to it to see if they were lying or not, which was a good instance in that case.
That's true. Yeah, that was something that she, I guess, was kind of smart about. But I also love, we could sort of jump around here, but when Tamra eventually got eliminated, and she's like, well, as long as it wasn't one of the housewives, I'm like, well, it was.
Yeah, oh, interesting note about that, too. Peter was doing, everyone obviously is doing interviews and shit. The cast didn't find out who the traitors were until they watched the season. They never told them who the traitors were, even after they were eliminated.
Oh.
So they found out live as we did.
Because that is a cool part of it, too. Like, the one time you have to tell the truth on the whole show is if you get voted out, you go right before you leave the castle. You're like, I'm a faithful, I'm a traitor. And early on, it was so frustrating. They couldn't vote. They couldn't vote out any of the traitors. They'd be like one or two people onto them. Yeah, early on, they didn't even get votes. Like, the first, four or five eliminations?
Right.
And maybe the funniest thing in the season, and there was a lot of choices, but we didn't even mention this. Deontay Wilder, the former heavyweight champion boxer, was on this show for some reason. He was convinced it was this dude from Dancing with the Stars, Max. He was convinced. He puts up, like, this whole case during roundtable, and people are like, man, like, Deontay is serious about this. So they ended up voting him out. The guy goes up there and he's like, I don't know what that's about. I'm a faithful. It wrecks Deontay Wilder. He cried.
Legit has a breakdown.
Breaks down. Couldn't believe he voted out an innocent guy. Removed himself from the show. They said after last night's events, Deontay has removed himself from the show. They never mention his name again.
Yep. Never gets brought up. He is in the season reunion. He's there and he's contributing, but like, they don't really, he talks about it a little bit, but obviously, you know, I'm not to make light of mental health.
No, I know.
Jesus, like, you're playing a contest for $100,000, whatever it is. Like, you're allowed to make mistakes, and I don't think anyone's going to take it really personal, but man, he was, I'd never seen, other than Ashley Mitchell in The Challenge, completely losing it every season she's on, I've never seen someone like go from like as high as they could be, so convicted to like, I want to leave the game.
Yeah, man, it was, and yeah, I mean, there's probably CTE and all this other stuff going on, but you're in this game, and I don't know, like, you got the person out, and now you're just gonna be like, oh shit, because guess what? Like, before that and after that, they were just voting out faithfuls like crazy anyway. He wasn't the only one at all.
And again, I can't pretend, this is all hindsight now that we've seen a season of gameplay, but like, I don't know why they were so quick to point crosshairs on people. Like, in my mind, your job as a traitor is to lay low and not be out in front of things. So like, Dan and Phaedra were doing exactly that for the first half of the game. And then finally people start picking your brains and Dan just has nothing to say, for like four votes.
And Dan pissed me off. And so there were times on this show where it drove you nuts. And one of them was those first handful of episodes, because sort of a double whammy. One of the reasons I was watching the show was because of Bananas.
Mm-hmm.
He's the first guy out of the game.
So frustrating.
And I was like, son of a bitch. I'm like, at least you have CT and Trishel. But I'm like, Bananas is like, what an on-screen presence, right? He's been doing it for
great
years.
Perfect. Exactly cast for this show. He would have been great for a
because he would have killed all the challenges for whatever those are worth. And then he would have been funny. He would have had strategy because he's really upped his strategy game over the last like 10 years, right? Like, he's not just like muscle. Like, he's
for sure.
So he gets bounced out, and then because Dan's a traitor, Dan has so much screen time, and he's so fucking annoying. I'm like, get
so
rid of this
boring
guy.
Too. He boring. Just the way his cadence, like every time he talks, you're like, I've had enough of you, Dan. Come on.
I don't care. But shockingly, Fade, out of all the people that were traitors this season, by the end of it, Phaedra was actually bothering me the most, and I'll tell you why. I don't think she could separate the fucking game from real life.
So true.
And what was crazy to me, it's one thing like in a social setting, if somebody accuses you and you to be like, oh, like, what are you saying? And then like move on, like pivot and like deflect and whatever else. But in the confessionals, she's like, I can't believe they brought my name up. And I'm like, well, they're right. Yeah. They're right. Like, wouldn't your reaction be like, oh shit, they're on to me. I better pivot. Right. Not like, fuck right. them. How, why do they think it's me? They think it's you because it is you. Like, those people are right.
And on top of it, like, that was a whole nother level they didn't really get to. Parvati tried it a little bit, but the trader v trader stuff is a whole other level of the game, because ultimately you want to win the most money at the end of the game. So you want to be there with three or four traders. You want to be there by yourself, ideally. And that part of that, like, the minute there was an inkling of that, Phaedra is furious about it.
It's like, dude, so it's mad. The game. Like, and, yeah, right. You're not going to be traders in the end.
Right.
In all likelihood, you're probably not going to be standing there. I mean, I guess it's possible, but you don't think it's going to happen. And I think Dan and Parvati, because they come from Big Brother and Survivor, they were onto that. They were even saying, like, they would talk nice with each other. And then they were like, at some point, I'm going to have to flip it.
Yes.
And I exactly. think it was either Trishelle or Peter, who were like the co-MVPs of the season. Trishelle totally was fantastic agree. And like spot on almost the entire time. And then we'll get to the finale, which was blows your hats and your hair off your head. But when Trishelle was like, what the fuck did she say about Phaedra? Oh, she was saying how, like, well, Dan, in like, everybody was on to Dan. And so Dan wanted to give up like a traitor. He wanted to give traitor blood.
It's the best. It's the turning point of the season
yes.
to me, because at that point, Peter's playing the game, but no one really has a legit string to tug on. And finally, because if you're thinking about it, this is Dan's whole savior ploy, because he hasn't given any names the whole time. So if you're thinking about it, if a traitor like Dan, because they find out he gets voted out and they confirm he's a traitor. So if you think back to what he says at Roundtable, the only possible way he could save himself is to come off as this God savior faithful. This whole time I've been
yes.
thinking about it. I yes. finally got it. I got Phaedra. She's the traitor. So if they vote her off, he's like, see, I told you. But because that didn't happen, Trishelle's like, oh, shit. He had to have known who the other traitors were or traitor yeah. was. Phaedra's got to be one.
Yeah, he didn't have the most compelling case when he was trying to get out of there. It was the best thing he did. He was horrible, and he was boring, and all, they were all onto him. They're like, you're not saying anything. You don't talk game. You don't do anything. He's like, well, no, I'm thinking, and I'm on to somebody, and I'll tell you at Roundtable. So he did his best. Like, he gave, like, a whole presentation, and then he voted out Phaedra. But what was smart was, like, Trishelle being like, no. He now, that was his best chance, and that's yep. who he should have voted for. I think he did the right thing there.
Right.
And, yeah, that would have saved him at least two more eliminations, I bet.
Yeah, and I also thought it was wise of Trishelle to not immediately throw shade on Phaedra, because she knows in the end game, she now has this like piece of information. She's not going to win this game with eight people. You might as yeah. well let other people get murdered and get to the end game, knowing that Phaedra's probably a traitor. So she did a great job sort of keeping that under wraps. The other big moment I loved was Parvati murdering Ekansu with the cup. I thought there should have been more of that, more like sneaky murders like that. That was awesome. And then Phaedra's reaction the next morning of, oh Lord, not Ekansu, absolutely fucking killed me.
Lord, not Ekansu. Well, and then Phaedra was like, that also drove me nuts about Phaedra. Then Phaedra was like, well, I voted for Ekansu, so that looks like I put a target on my back. And I'm like, well, then you go hand somebody a cup of wine. Like, yeah. that was a pain in the ass. Even Parvati right. was like, I don't think that was their plan, but they were like, who's going to randomly take a cup of wine from me?
Exactly. You just have to play it by ear there. And I do think Parvati was kind of doomed because of her reputation. So her reputation from Survivor, she won one season, probably should have won a second season with a bunch of famous Survivor characters. And she's like, has this Black Widow air around her. So I don't think anyone was ever going to be comfortable with her getting to the end. So the other traders needed to use that to their advantage. And they do a little bit,
yeah.
But not enough. And I just like Phaedra started with that defensive stuff and it works early on,
mm-hmm.
but you would have thought she sees the way Dan goes out without ever mentioning or throwing anyone under the bus. And then she goes out the same way. She never puts the light on anyone, never points at someone, says, here's why X, Y, Z. She never does it.
No, she's terrible at it. And it's made clear. So Dan gets voted out, and we'll get into this too. So then they recruit Peter, because Peter's the one sniffing around. Peter's the one that very wisely hid who had the shields after one
yes,
mission.
Great game. Move.
And then he started telling, he's like, I'm on to CT, I'm on to Dan and Parvati, and I'm going to tell yeah. all three of them the wrong answer of who has the shields and see what happens.
Yeah. And then I think they go to murder Bergie, and they can't because Bergie has the shield.
So that was a big morning. So Bergie, they all show up and they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
so, but then your mind's racing. And like, so you're not sure if you were in that house, you're like, either they pick the person who has the shield or they recruited a third person. Like, you don't really.
Yeah, that's true too.
You're not really sure what to think at this point.
Right.
And so, yeah, so that was a good play by Peter. And he. Oh, so then they recruit Peter, right? So when Dan gets booted out of there, but Peter's like the king of the faithfuls and he is like, he is driving strong on this and he turns it down. Then later on.
And the moment they do this, this is crucial too. I think there's 11 people left in the game. I believe it's 11 when Dan gets killed and they go to recruit Peter. And Peter has the numbers at that point. I think he has 5 of the 11, but there are a couple of floaters and there's the 3 or 4 Bravo people. If he takes that on, I think he gets to the end game because he can sort of control mostly where the numbers go and still have a 1 advantage at the end of it. But instead, what he does is he declines it and kind of like doubles down. And he is sort of right of who he thinks the traitors are. But now he's talking to them privately too much. And then the other people are like, hold on a fucking second here. Like, what's going on with Peter?
I just don't think he did a great enough job explaining what he was doing. I also think some of the people that are on his side are kind of dumb.
Yes,
because
that's true,
he was like, well, they're like, well, you said it was poverty. Why do you think it's Phaedra? And it'd be very simple. It'd be like, because Phaedra has friends in the house and poverty doesn't. Yeah. So let's get Phaedra out now. But they're like, well, wait a minute.
Perfect response.
Why are you on poverty's side? He's like, I'm not on her fucking side, idiots.
Yes, exactly.
We need to get Phaedra out now before we lose the numbers. But they like,
it's the numbers game.
But people like Kevin and like, they couldn't see that. And obviously, all the Bravo people were probably more on Phaedra's side anyway. Clearly, right up to the end, most of them were on Phaedra's side. So he couldn't do that. Also, real quick, I was thinking, going back to the cup thing, I don't know if they did a good enough job explaining the next morning. Like, that's exactly... Didn't they say, like, oh, somebody was poisoned? But I don't know if they...
Yeah.
Because if they did that, I wonder if a few characters would have been like, oh, she did offer me some wine.
Right, right.
But I don't think they really laid into that.
I don't know if I like it that way or not, but... there should have been more of that because that was like really good television watching Parvati, like try to sleuthly, you know, just slide into a crowd and you got it just the one time during the season.
Yeah.
But so Dan, I think I have the boot order here.
Okay.
Bananas, Peppermint, Marcus Jordan, Max, Deontay, who takes himself out.
Deontay self TKO after the Max voting. Yep.
Ekansu with the cup and then Larsa like went too hard. Then Tamra. So right in a row, you have Larsa, Tamra and Janelle were like the three that were playing way too hard. And everyone's like, we just got to get them out of the game.
Well,
one way.
I also
other.
Think at this point, was there any even votes on Dan or Phaedra or Poverty?
No.
Like they were like just skating by at this
point. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then finally, after Janelle goes, she's the one that's pointing the big finger at Dan. And so Dan goes the next vote.
Yes.
So that was the first time we're like, all right. And then once Dan really felt the heat, he throws it on Phaedra. So then the game sort of starts rolling from there. And then you get Bergie, Parvati, Kevin, Peter, John, Phaedra right before the finale.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also when you knew Phaedra had no idea what was going on was when Parvati gets voted out. And then now she gets to recruit and that person doesn't have a choice. So Peter had a choice. He's like, I'm staying as a faithful. They go to Kate, who like joined the show late from Below Deck. She's obnoxious.
The worst decision you could have made is picking the person that came late.
Right. So she's got like, no, she's not. I thought she was going to pick CT because
that would have been a good move. I thought
she had a
CT
lot of
or Trishelle.
Right.
And then by picking Kate, they're like, because I'm trying to think of if I'm in that situation, when Kate comes into the game in the middle of the game, something has to be up with her. She's either a traitor or she has some sort of knowledge, which ultimately that wasn't the thing. She comes in as a faithful,
right.
But then she gets chosen as a traitor. Like you're right. Phaedra by making that decision seemed stupid.
So
she
dumb.
Should have done another Peter type of thing because the person had to accept or get banished. Like if you just pick someone that was definitely a faithful, now you have a whole new ball game.
Yeah. And then the first thing Phaedra says to her, it's like, all right, what's our strategy? And Kate's like, I don't know. You've been a traitor the whole time. What's your strategy? She's like, I don't have one. I got nothing. Let's see. So Peter and Trishelle, I would say, were the best at the game.
Totally agree.
I feel like
Peter early on.
Yeah.
And then Trishelle later, because Trishelle was doing a good job of just sort of note taking and not really sticking her head out there. And especially after Peter got axed, she just kind of kept laying low. And then at that point is where she kind of latched herself onto CT.
I'm surprised. And so that was a weird relationship. So those are the people clearly I was rooting for the most. And there was that moment where kind of a cool game where the winners of the thing during the day, they get to choose one person to protect. Then they get to choose one person. Then they get to choose one person until there's like only five people left that can get murdered that night.
Yeah.
And CT gets the torch and he gives it to John, the fucking old politician. Right. And Trishelle loses it. And so at this point, Trishelle's like, I can't trust CT. But then they kind of make up. And Trishelle's right. Like, every person Trishelle thinks is a traitor, she's right. And CT's like, well, I don't know. Like, Phaedra's been nice to me. So it took a lot of convincing for Trishelle to get CT on her side. But ultimately, she does. And then they sort of become a team. To which I'm surprised that, was it the second to last murder that the traitors did? I really don't know why they didn't go after Trishelle, because couldn't you see the, like, Trishelle CT combo?
You would
want
to cut out any strong duos, which is exactly why a couple of the Bravo people get axed at the end. You don't want anyone that's, like, clearly going to be a 2-on-1, you know, like, it just would have made way too much sense to kill CT or Trishelle, and they didn't do either.
And so then there's that weird game where they're in the church shooting the arrows. And they can't do it. They can't do it. They're losing money. And then they just all of a sudden pivot and they're like, let's shoot Trishelle. And so that's kind of what changed the game, I think, for CT. And then they eventually pivot and they get Phaedra. And so Trishelle's looking pretty smart. So let's fast forward. We can always go back, but fast forward to the finale. So the finale, there's no more traitor murders. And it's just a cool setup. So they're outside by this fire pit and, like you said, they have to agree to end the game. Otherwise, the game is going to keep going. And then if there's a traitor, they get the money. And if it's all fatal, they get to split the money. So they have these little bags that they throw in the fire. And if it's green, that means like, hey, let's end the game. We're good. And if it's red, it means let's vote again and get somebody out.
Yeah.
And so it's down to Trishelle, CT, MJ, and Kate. Was there anybody else there? No, just those four,
no,
right?
I think I think the episode does start with Kate killing Sandra getting voted out, and Cherie gets killed by Kate, and then they have those final four for the last 40 minutes.
Oh, right. Yeah, because they're not really sure. Like, the MTV people aren't really sure about Sandra, and so they eventually vote Sandra out. She's a faithful, but she made it pretty far. And then they get down to this fire-burning thing, and this is where Kate is just so dumb. So
her last 24 hours lost her the game easily.
Just panicked. Had no idea what to do strategy-wise. So Sheree was murdered the night before, right? Mm-hmm. And so Phaedra had been protecting her. And so now Sheree gets murdered. And I think Kate did it because she's like, oh, well, then maybe they'll like get off the Bravo people. I'm like, you moron. Kill Trishelle because she's smart. Sheree doesn't know what planet she's on. Keep her on the show and be like, hey, we're Bravo people. And then you're in good shape. Turn it on CT and you win the game.
It would have been so easy because you would have had four people with four different minds and not really agreeing on anything. And that's exactly what you want as a traitor. Whereas you have Trishelle, who's pretty strong-minded at that point, with a strong ally.
Yes.
It was a really dumb decision. And on top of it, not only does she get so mad at Phaedra when the roundtable votes Phaedra out, that kind of outs her. When they get to the final four first vote, she throws the green bag. So
that,
you're like,
blew my mind.
Of course she's a traitor.
Blew my mind. Because even MJ, who you're like, I don't think she knows they're on a reality show. Yeah. Even MJ was like, well, Sheree was murdered last night, so there's obviously a traitor left because Sandra said she was a faithful. So obviously, so even if you're the one traitor like Kate was, you have to throw red.
Have to.
As soon as you throw
red. No matter what you do.
So that was easy. So then the other three vote Kate out, and then it's down to three. And this is where, I mean, it's already good at this point. Yeah. Then it gets great. Some of the best reality TV I've ever seen. So now
so amazing.
MJ's like celebrating, like, we did it. Let's finally go celebrate. Yeah. And so they're like, all right, let's throw the bags again. And so she throws hers in green. Trishelle throws hers in red. And I was like, motherfuckers.
As a viewer, you thought we were getting three greens too, because they knew MJ. Well, CT had a little bit of an inkling, but you're pretty sure they all know it's three faithful left.
I'm pretty sure it is too. But right before they're like, Alan's like, we got to vote again. You can notice CT kind of just like looks at Trishelle and kind of like nods. And I'm like, hell yeah, they're going to split the money. That's cutthroat. That's what you should do.
Right.
Get MJ out of there. Like, who cares? Like, that's reality TV, right? That's Ashley taking the money. That's Bananas taking the money. Like, that's smart.
Like, great gameplay.
Yes. And so they have the numbers. And then so MJ can't believe it. She's like frazzled. And she's
look on her face is epic.
She's like, I don't know. Trishel? And CT's
and
like,
the best is you try to figure out who she's writing down, and CT's two letters. And MJ's like, like, I guess she's voting for Trishel. So like in that moment, yeah, CT could have been like, oh, I guess I'll go Trishel, and I'm in the final two either way.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. So one of the my Nicole, sister-in-law Nicole, was saying how if you also go back and look during roundtables, how often names are spelled wrong. Like there's so many, like that's not how you spell that person's name. But anyway,
So
CT goes first, and he's like MJ, because you're like, that's the plan. MJ's panicking. She votes Trishel. Then they go to Trishel, and I'm like, all right, here you go. Game's over. And she goes,
there you go.
CT.
Jaw dropped.
Oh, I fell out of my chair.
Fucking jaw. I almost wanted to leap through the TV because I went from like, Trishel has this. For those of you who haven't watched The Real World of the Challenge, Trishel is not very well liked. She's just been someone that's been around for 20 years. Even going back to her Real World Vegas, you didn't really like
polarizing.
Her. So this whole season was almost like a redemption arc for anyone that's known of her for 20 years. So by the end of this show, I'm like, wow, what a real comeback for Trishel. This is great. And it all flipped on a switch the minute I saw CT on her board.
I was like, oh my God. And if MJ had just randomly voted CT, then right, Trishel's fucking him out of the money. I was like, holy shit. And as an aside, I don't think anybody wears hats better than Trishel. She wears hats great.
Yeah, she did have quite the selection of hats. I did. That's hats. The other thing I wanted to see with Bananas. He said he had so many great outfits planned for the season that got shut down because he was on the show for 2 days.
He needs to be in season three. It's not fair.
For sure. Like,
it's not fair. He needs to be in season three, even if he gets voted out first, whatever.
Bring him back Kate style or bring him back with the regular cast, whatever you
but
do.
So Trishel just changed the game when she did that. And then so Alan's like, all right, everybody has one vote. You got to vote again, but now you can talk. And so MJ's like, I don't know. It's like, she's like, we're all faithfuls. Like, what are we doing here? And then CT's like shook. But then Trishel kind of explains to him, she's like, you didn't light my torch. Mm-hmm. You gave me the shield.
To that thing with when he picks John, I get Trishel being upset because of their one-on-one relationship, but he picked John, which was a definite faithful. So she should have like let off that a little bit. Like if CT was being sketchy there, he wouldn't have chosen John, who was like definitely a faithful.
True. I think she was just so paranoid.
It's the Sandra vote. The Sandra vote, I think, really flipped her.
I think
because they went in there agreeing to vote Phaedra, I think.
Kate.
Kate, that's right.
They were going to vote Kate
at the round table.
And then, because Kate, actually, that was the one time where Kate was pretty good, where she was like, well, you said in the car you were voting for him. She's like, no, I didn't fucking say that. And then, like, that turned on Sandra. So that was, Kate did save herself at least one round.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
in terms of gameplay like that, Trishel definitely played a better game than CT. But CT did such a good job with the social relationships. Like MJ doesn't write his name down at the end there because she really likes CT,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
Like that. And Phaedra really likes CT, so she never wanted to murder CT, you know?
He
did a great job with that.
But I don't know if Trishel said this on the show. I also watched a clip. She was on Johnny Banana's podcast. But basically, Trishel was saying, like, not only did CT like not light my torch, she's like, I was thinking, well, maybe because he is a traitor, he was going to protect me anyway. So it's like, hey, you don't need to freak out about it, because like, I'm going to save you anyway.
Yeah.
And then
if
like,
it's those two, he wins.
Yeah. But then there was that time they were in the tunnel and he got the shield and like gave her the shield.
Right.
So like her mind was kind of all over the place, but she was still hurt by that. And then it was the Sandra vote. Like you said, she was like, well, wait a minute. Like we had this plan. We were locked in. You said, you trust me. This was the Kate Sandra vote.
Yeah.
So that threw her off. So she's like, maybe he is a traitor. Because that's the beauty of the game. Like, they don't. So as soon as they vote Kate out, they're like, there could be one more. Fuck, there could be two more. Like, you literally don't know. So if it gets down to just two people at that, like, you have to hope that they're both faithfuls. Like, at that, exactly. There's nothing else you can do. Yeah.
That's like, I was mad in the moment, but I actually respected it as a game move from Trishel. Because she's like, there's a little bit of a doubt. And that's the reason why CT voted for MJ too, because he was thinking about it. Like, man, there hasn't been any shade thrown on MJ all season. That would be a perfect traitor game. It's really overselling what MJ's contribution was to the season. But in his head, he's like, there's a chance she could be. And it's the same way Trishel's thinking with CT.
All right. If you were CT, would you, when you get to re-vote, would you have kept the MJ vote, or you've been like, all right, it's on you, because you know who MJ is voting for?
I would 100% have voted for Trishel, and I would have felt awful about it, but that's a guarantee. And you know, MJ's doing it again. And I mean, who knows what their friendship is like outside of this game, or
I can't imagine it's
like, I don't think you're going to miss Trishel's friendship.
I don't think that they like hang out. I think they know each other. All these MTV people are in the same, like, you know, fraternity, but I don't think they're like best buds. It was just those two.
So then it was jaw dropping, and then CT arguing for himself, and then them re-voting, and CT not voting for Trishel was like another big thing. I was amazing. Like, holy shit.
That was amazing. And then they actually win together. And I thought it was like, you couldn't have written it any better.
You really couldn't have.
It was so good because like they both kind of screwed each other at one point, but then ultimately they win the money together. And after Bananas got eliminated, that was what as a viewer, that's what I was rooting for. Now I'm sure there are like Bravo people and Survivor people and Big Brother people who are like, fuck this game. But like, those are who I wanted to win. They had their ups and downs, and then ultimately they won. So like, what a rewarding, satisfying finale.
Yeah, and then poor little MJ just being on the side, like she actually did what she was supposed to do, but because she like was so meaningless throughout the season, like she really didn't deserve the money. So that was kind of satisfying too.
Who did you find yourself rooting against the most, whether they were a faithful or a traitor?
I was getting real sick of the Bravo people just not questioning Phaedra. To Cherie's credit, towards the end, she finally flips, but like, because she has to.
Took
the
forever.
Whole time they're talking about like, she would never. Aren't those shows all them lying and there's drama? Like, they're lying to each other all the time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, they were super annoying. I wanted them out. And because there were so many of them, and at the end, you're like, oh man, like CT might get kind of like porked here, like depending on how this goes. But yeah, like, I think the traitors kind of lend themselves to being, unless, you know, it'll be interesting to see if somebody that you really like is a traitor. Because I didn't like Dan, and he was a traitor, so that kind of bugged me. I did like Poverty, though, and then it was funny because she was playing a very, like, singular game. She didn't have any real friends, and it's kind of like...
And I think that's because of her reputation, because of what she did on Survivor. But I think the way to get the viewer to root more for the traitors is more of those... cup style murders, more of those like randomness instead of just going back to that lair and sending someone a letter.
Yeah, that's true.
Which would be cooler.
Yeah, it's got to be something. But if they do a season three, I would assume they are, because I feel like this was pretty talked about.
I agree. Yeah, definitely successful for sure.
People did say the season one was not very good. Like, I think just like going back on it after I was getting into season two, it was sort of like, well, don't go back. So I think the people who are on it probably make it worthwhile. If they do, in fact, make a season three, who are some of the people from that universe that you would like? And I guess that universe could be literally anything. If they have a boxer, a politician, and like, yeah, it could be any human person that could be on the show, I guess.
Yeah, I got three from Survivor, and I actually picked three from The Challenge too that I think would be good additions. From Survivor, Russell Hance is an all-time great Survivor villain. Got to the end game in Survivor twice and lost, but he plays really hard and he's a great character. You'll either love him or you'll hate him.
Okay.
He'd be a good addition. Tony Vlachos is one of the two-time Survivor winners with Sandra. He's really good. He's a cop in real life, but he's like really sleuthy and it would be fun to see him in that gameplay. Uh-huh. And then Cherie Fields is like a fan favorite Survivor player that's never won, but she's really like strategic. So I'd like to see her thrown into the mix. From The Challenge, I'd like to see Amanda Garcia in there just because she's a lunatic and pops off on people.
Dude, I love Amanda. I forgot about Amanda. Amanda's fantastic.
She's great TV. I think she would be great on this show. Devin Walker, too. Devin, who just won with Tori a couple seasons ago. He would be awesome here.
100%. This game's made for Devin.
So true.
Yeah.
And then I think Wes is going to be on Villains season two, which I haven't watched, but Wes would be great in this.
What's Villains?
Too. That was the show Johnny Bananas was on last year. It's a bunch of like reality TV villains all in one house. I don't know what the game style is, but like New York from Flavor of Love was on it. Like they had got those types of characters.
Okay. There. Yeah. No, Wes was the first person I thought of, like, just cause like the politicking and all the bullshit going on. So I think Wes would be great. I'm trying to think who else from like the real world would be good. I think you kind of nailed it. Amanda's crazy and a good character.
She loves drama.
Yeah, that's true. Just goes crazy for it. So anyway, we'll see. And I guess like Tyson Fury, like throw it away.
Actually, he'd probably be pretty good. He's a great character as is.
Yeah, he probably could. Or I wonder if you could get like, just because I watched this special, get like Dave Attell. Get like a couple like stand-up comedians, but the ones that like, wouldn't it be bothered by it?
There's dark comedians that would just fucking hate everyone and hate the show, hate me in there. Like David Tell would be great.
Like Larry David. Like Larry David did the show. He's like, this is so dumb. I'm the traitor. Just vote me out, please. Like, I don't want to even be here. Just make the whole show a joke.
I think, I don't know if I'll go back and watch season one, but I liked this format so much. I think I could do a season even with just like 22 randoms. Like, now I like the game style so much I could do it.
Apparently, like, the UK version is insane. That's what somebody said. Yeah.
Isn't it? And it's no like celebrities. It's just regular people.
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, maybe they're on TV over there, or maybe they're okay. just regular people. Let me see. Right. The Traitors. Series based on the, oh, it's a,
I feel
Dutch
like British
series.
Television is usually better anyways.
Yeah. Is it a Dutch series? Or maybe it was originally.
It was originally Dutch. It was Dutch originally based off that fucking warship. And then the UK adopted it. And then, of course, we adopted it.
Yeah. I liked it. Anything else we're missing? What else did we
No, I, it's just, it's a, it, it's one of those shows that you watch a couple of episodes and you're like, I don't know if I'm really buying in. It's over the top. And then after three or four, you're like, you start rooting for a couple people, or something happens you hate and you're like, oh, I got to see how this goes.
Well, that's what happened actually. So I was watching it with my wife, and she was the one's like, hey, let's watch this. And it might've been like the third or fourth time where they voted out a faithful and like Dan was still in there. And she's like, I think I'm good. And she's like, you can watch the rest of it without me. Cause like we have different schedules. So I was like, all right, I'm not going to wait anymore. So I watched the end. I'm like, you probably should have seen the finale. Like the finale was fantastic.
So fucking good.
But I get why you might be a little annoyed, but I think in this case, it makes it even better. Like in the end, you know,
the payoff is great. And like, as a viewer, you're sort of keeping stock the whole time, like seven episodes in, I didn't think there was any way the Faithfuls were going to win. Like, they were playing such a poor game. There was two traitors left, and no one was putting any shade on Phaedra. I'm like, man, Phaedra's really going to win this game, and then it totally flipped on its head.
Now, is it too much of a risk? Like, let's say you and I were the two traitors, and there's still, like, a big cast. And you know, like, the one thing that they were sniffing out was, yeah, you never bring up anybody's name. How come you never bring up anybody's name?
Right.
Is it too risky for you to go over there and be like, hey, I think it's John, and then for me to be like, I don't know, but like maybe John. I wonder if people are smart enough to be like, well, Keith and Mac are the only ones saying John, or would there be enough chatter going, and then they're like, well, yeah, no, those guys are talking, they just happen to agree. Like, I feel like it's risky, but it might also be the way to save yourself.
Yeah, it would. I think you would have to, you'd almost have to make it into factions. Like, if you had three distinct groups, then you could sort of cause chaos. But if it was like the way it had been playing out, if it was just Peter's group steamrolling people, they wouldn't have been able to do that. And like, that's why I think Peter fumbled it so badly, because he was in control of the game from the faithful side, and he could have remained that way while still being a traitor.
It's true. Just,
like, when you look back on it, it seems like he had the easiest path to winning this.
But it was crazy to me for like Sheree and for Pete and MJ and those to like keep thinking it was Peter, and Peter's like presenting his whole case. He lays out the whole thing with Dan. He's like, I was on to Dan. I like, let's get Phaedra now. And they're like, I think it's Peter. Like, Peter's playing a weird game. Peter's so weird. And then Peter's like, at one point, and he should have laid on this even more, he's like, if I was really a traitor, would I have voted out my friends the last 3 weeks or the last three eliminations? Because it was literally like guys like Kevin and
Kevin and Bergie.
And Bergie. Right before. Like, would I have voted those guys out? And then someone's like, oh, that is like a good point. But like, boom, I'm still voting for Peter. I'm like, oh, you fucking idiots. Oh, it's driving me nuts.
So dumb. So fucking dumb.
Because that's the thing, is I think sometimes they would have like a good point and then people would kind of move past it. And I'm like, no, just keep hammering the same point. Like, let them know, like,
Phaedra did do a good job at most of those roundtables until the end of the game, just like being defensive. Yep. But then they weeded out everyone else, and then they're like, all right, Phaedra, so what do you think? And it was a total Dan thing. She had nothing to say.
No. And then every breakfast, she's just housing food and like not worried at all. And then they're like, well, roundtable, you have like a Twitch. Did anybody ever tell you have a Twitch? She's like, I do not have a Twitch. And then they show her. She's like,
yeah, it's so good. I forgot about that. That's right. Like, you have a tell. Like, you're a terrible poker player.
Well, Trishelle apparently plays poker. That's what she said.
Yes, she does. I did know that. Yeah.
That probably
helped. She's been doing it for years. Like, because she hasn't been on a season of the challenge since like 2012. It's been a while.
Yeah. Didn't she like take herself out of it? Like, didn't
she was on, I think, Rivals 2 or 3 with Anissa, and then she took herself out, or I think it was Anissa. I don't remember now, but she took herself out of that season.
Yeah.
And the only other season she was on recently before that was Battle of the Seasons with Dustin, Alton, and Nani. There was like,
oh yeah, because her and Alton were on the same. Alton's nasty at those. He doesn't do enough of them, but he's really good.
It'd be a good one for All Stars, which is coming out in a couple of weeks, by the way.
Trishelle apparently also won Fear Factor with The Miz.
Oh, those clips are great. I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's a great clip.
Because she mentioned that as like a throwaway line. She's like, well, like I have, like I've been on some of these shows. She's like, I won Fear Factor. And I was like, I think it was during like that weird Bugs one. She like said, she's like, I've won Fear Factor. And I'm like, you won Fear Factor? I'm like, her, back when her and the Miz were dating, they went on as like a couple.
Awesome. Yeah. That's a great Fear Factor clip. And then the clip of Joe Rogan nearly beating up the guy is another great clip. Yeah. Fucking fantastic.
That's an all timer. All right. I think that'll do it for the traders. Mac, what do you guys got coming up on the old Mac and Goo program?
This week, Goo was so inspired by March Madness. We did a 6-pack of best fictional basketball scenes, or worst, however you want to break it down. And then we do a quick draft at the end of fictional basketball players. So that's fun for the folks at home.
All right. Very good. Yeah. It would take just the three guys from Blue Chips right out of the chute.
We tried to stay away from like the real guys playing themselves, but there was a little bit of that.
Yeah. It's Neon Bordeaux. Alert. It's not Shaquille O'Neal. It's Neon Bordeaux. What do you want?
A little spoiler alert. Air Bud went very high.
Well, he's a great player. He's fantastic.
Can't dribble, but in transition, it's phenomenal.
He's great. All right, very good. Check them out at Mac and Goo Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, Twitter, Instagram, and all that. You guys can hit us up. Tell us what you thought about Traitors Season 2 at Dork Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Stream the shows live on YouTube or just listen to them after the fact. That'll do it for us. Next week is TBD, although I really want to see, is it Monkey Man's coming out?
Oh, is that this week?
I think it is. I don't know if I can. Awesome. It looks amazing. So TBD on the episode, we will let you know. But thanks for listening to this one, and we'll talk to you soon.